That we got going on tonight. Welcome to Maniac Marketers. I am your host, Terry Allison. Hopefully you can all hear me pretty well out there. Just give me a Y and a text chat and we'll continue on. Yeah. Hey, Butch is here. Cool deal. Alright, everything is good. That's what we want. Well, tonight's title is Vision as the Indispensable Quality of a Leader in a Work-at-Home Business, and this is part two in the series. And I've been taking all the material, most of the material, from this book that John Maxwell done, or wrote. He called it Developing the Leader Within You. And we've been taking this material and adapting it to a work-at-home business. He has a lot of great insight on what leadership is. And so we take most of his stuff and apply it to our business. Now, before we get into the actual talking about vision and all that, let's first talk about why people even come to a work-at-home business. You know, people got a dream of some kind, or they're lured, or you know, something draws them to a work-at-home business. For many people, it's that hope of making lots and lots of money. Others, they're just wanting a replacement income. Maybe they lost their job. Maybe they got hurt on the job. With our economy the way it is, there could be all kinds of things out there. Maybe they're laid off for temporary laid off for a while, and they need that replacement income to help them to get by in the world. Other people, hey, they're just fed up with their boss. Maybe the boss has gotten a bad attitude from somewhere. Maybe the boss is too controlling. Maybe the boss just doesn't know what the hell they're doing. It could be any of those things. Some people want to do the BYOB thing. They want to be your own boss, or be their own boss. But, you know, that's what draws me. I like to be my own boss. And some people want that freedom and flexibility. You know, they want to be able to, you know, if their kids at school, maybe, you know, got some special celebration going on, or maybe the child is your child is doing an exhibit or something, and you want to go there to support your kid and be with them and encourage them. In order to get that time off, you have to go to that boss, that supervisor, manager, whatever, and, you know, and negotiate that time off. Even on vacation and stuff like that. Some people, a lot of places, you got to decide in December, maybe January at the latest, of when you're going to take your vacation for the whole year. And you know, a lot of places are only giving you 1 or 2 weeks off for a whole year's worth of work. And then you have to ask for that time off, but then you're not necessarily guaranteed to get that time off unless, you know, you've been with a company for quite a while and, you know, you got that seniority pulling for you a little bit. You know, it's going to depend on other people and what they want off, because, you know, a company just can't let everybody go on the same week. Say everybody wants to take off on the first part of July and maybe use their 2 weeks up. You know, they can't all do that at the same time. So it's got to be negotiated in there too. Always like the Elvis Presley stories that I've heard, where he just loaded up his friends on an airplane and went out to California to have breakfast. And I always thought that would be pretty cool, to just load up my friends and say, "Hey, let's go have breakfast somewhere." It didn't have to be California; it could be Florida, or if it's summertime, maybe we'd go up to Alaska somewhere and just chill out a little bit. Some people, they start a working home business for their family, because working 8 hours can turn into a whole lot longer than 8 hours. By the time you figure in your drive time and all that, you know, you could easily spend 1 hour just one way. And then you got to think about that hour just getting up in the morning to get ready to go to your work. Then there's rush hour traffic figured in there, walking to and from the parking lot. Maybe there's road construction. All that kind of stuff adds up, and it adds to the time that you're away from your family. So people want to be there with their family and watch their kids grow up. I know, I've been able to be with my kids most of the time, and my older one is 17 years old now, is in his last year of high school, and I look back and it's like, God, where did all that time go? So, you know, even when you're around your family, that time can move pretty fast. Some people, you know, they want to do the leave a family legacy. They want to show their kids how to start up a business. You know, they start it up for themselves first, and they meet certain goals that they want to do, and then, you know, after a while, they can just hand it over to the kids and say, "Hey, kids, this is what I've done. You've watched me do certain things, and I'm sure you have ideas for yourself that you'd want to do. Take it, run with it, make it what you want, make it yours." And so there's family legacy. But these are not an exhaustive list by any means. So there may be something in there that I haven't named that fits your situation. But we all come to a work-at-home business with a reason why we're even looking at it. Well, mentoring. Let's talk about mentoring for a moment. What is mentoring? You know, we want to mentor you to be successful in a work-at-home business. That means that we want to work with you and help you to be successful. And that includes using the tools that we have for our business. And it means being a leader in your business. You can't just hide behind a website and think that, you know, you're going to make it. That just doesn't happen. You know, to all those websites out there that says, you know, you can make thousands of dollars overnight or be a millionaire overnight, that ain't going to happen. You know, you're going to have to work a little bit, and you're going to have to be a leader. It means that you're probably going to have to grow some and make some changes in yourself. And we want to help you in that process to do that. And so, and that's leads us to what we've been talking about this past couple weeks, vision. What we talked about last week, just a quick review, is basically vision statements. And we're going to carry on that discussion tonight. We talked about four vision levels of people. You see what you are prepared to see. What you see is what you get. And so we journey on through this discussion of vision. And as always, if you would, if you'd like to participate in the discussion, just throw your ideas, your comments there in the chat, and we'll just talk about some of these things. So, vision statements, and this is part two of that. Personal ownership of a vision. Well, I don't know if you know about Rick Warren. He's a big church pastor up in, I believe it's Chicago. And he says, if you want to know the temperature of your organization, put a thermometer in a leader's mouth. Leaders can never take their people farther than they have traveled. Therefore, the focus of vision must be on the leader. Like leader, like people. It's kind of like the old image or the old saying of a monkey see, monkey do. People are going to do what the leader does. Followers find the leader and then the vision. Leaders find the vision and then the people. You may ask yourself, how do I get a vision for my organization? You know, how does that come about? Well, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight, because that question is crucial. Until it is answered, a person will be a leader in name only. No one can give you a vision. We can share the process with you of receiving one for you and those around you, but you're going to have to, put some thought into this. So the first thing you want to do is look within you. What do you feel? That seems such a simple question, doesn't it? But let's take it and go a little deeper with it. You know, what do you feel? Well, Theodore Hesburgh said, the very essence of leadership is that you have a vision. It's got to be a vision you can articulate clearly and forcefully on every occasion. You can't blow an uncertain trumpet. An uncertain trumpet is usually the result of an individual who either lacks a vision or is trying to lead with someone else's dream. Certain trumpet sounds come forth from a leader who has birthed a vision from within. There is a vast difference between a person with a vision and a visionary person. And here's some comparisons between the two. A person with a vision talks little but does much. A visionary person does little, but talks much. So you see the opposite there. A person with a vision finds strength from inner convictions. A visionary person finds strength from outward conditions. A person with vision continues when problems arise. A visionary person quits when the road becomes difficult. See, that's somebody that didn't really have the vision. They just, had some fanciful idea of what they were going to do. And a lot of people start that way in a work-at-home business, and that's what we want to eliminate. Many great people began in life in the poorest and most humble of homes, with little education and no advantages. Thomas Edison was a newsboy on trains. Andrew Carnegie started work at $4 a month. Imagine that, making only $4 a month. Andrew Carnegie, one of the richest people in the United States. Wow. And here and And here's John D. Rockefeller. He made $6 a week. So he made $2 more than Andrew Carnegie. Some people might say, oh, it's probably inflation. But it wasn't as much as what we have to deal with now. But the thing is, you know, they're doing so much. They're known for so much more than that, than making $4 a month or $6 a week. The remarkable thing about Abraham Lincoln was not that he was born in a log cabin, but that he got out of the log cabin. And I've seen that cabin. It's really not very far from here, about an hour's drive from here. And we've been to it, and it's, it's hard for me to imagine seven or eight people living in that little old log cabin between a couple of mountains there. But that's where they came out of. He got out of the cabin. This one Greek guy, Demosthenes, he was the greatest orator of the ancient world. Guess what? He stuttered. He had that old Mel Tellus. Anybody that knows country music, he had that old Mel Tellus stuttering. Well, the first time he tried to make a public speech, he was laughed at so much that they laughed him off the stage. Julius Caesar, he was an epileptic. Napoleon was a humble patronage, and far from being a born genius. You see, he stood 46 in his class at the military academy in a class of 65. So he was no military genius as far as school was concerned. And think about old Beethoven. Beethoven was deaf. Beethoven was deaf, and so was old Thomas Edison. Charles Dickens was lame, and so was Handel. Remember the Handel's Messiah that we sing every Easter? And old Homer, the old Greek guy, he was blind. Plato was a hunchback. Sir Walter Scott was paralyzed. What gave these great individuals the stamina to overcome severe setbacks and become successful? Think about that. You see, each person had an inner dream that lit a fire which could not be extinguished. Great visions begin as an inside job. Napoleon Hill said, "Cherish your visions and your dreams as they are the children of your soul, the blueprints of your ultimate achievements." Isn't that powerful, Napoleon Hill? I hope you've read Napoleon Hill's book. I forgot what the name of that is, but I know I have it here. But cherish your visions and your dreams as the children of your soul. And what do you do with your children? You grow them. And they're the blueprints of your ultimate achievements. So grow them. Make them big. Look behind you. What have you learned? A person without experience sees a vision idealistically. To that individual, the vision alone is enough. Naively, this person casts a vision to others, expecting the dream to do the work and failing to realize that a vision needs support. A person with experience learns that people buy into the leader before they buy into the vision. Experienced leaders realize that people are fickle and dreams are fragile. Experience has taught old John Maxwell these principles about vision. He says, "The credibility of a vision is determined by the leader. The acceptance of a vision is determined by the timing of its presentation. The value of a vision is determined by the energy and direction it gives. The evaluation of a vision is determined by the commitment level of people. The success of a vision is determined by its ownership by both the leader and the people. Leonard Lauder, president of Estee Lauder, said, "When a person with experience meets a person with money, the person with experience will get the money, and the person with the money will get the experience." So they both work hand in hand together. And Maxwell is coming from a growing a church and doing mission work. For us, we use our experience to help the people in a work at home business. And like I say, we show them what we've learned and help them cast that vision to them and help them to be good in their business. Help them to be as good as you. But you're going to get better and better because you're learning. You never stop growing. You got to keep on learning. So then, and that's where we come into look around you. What is happening to others? Well, a little boy attended his first symphonic concert. He was excited by the splendid hall, the beautiful people in their formal finery, and the sound of the large, enthusiastic orchestra. Of all the instruments in the orchestra, however, his favorite was the cymbals. That big, loud, crashing sound. Well, the first loud, dramatic crash of those brass discs won him over without reservation. He noticed, though, that most of the evening the cymbal player stood motionless while the other musicians played. Only occasionally was the cymbal player called upon to make his contribution, and even then his time of glory was quite brief. Well, after the concert, the little boy's parents took him backstage to meet some of the musicians. The little fellow immediately sought out the cymbalist. "Say, mister," he said sincerely, "how much do you need to know to play the cymbals?" And the musician laughed and answered, "Well, you don't have to know much at all. You only have to know when." See, timing is everything. A good idea becomes great when the people are ready. And that's what we look for in a work-at-home business. We look for people who are ready. If you're ready, then we stick our hand out and invite you to come on board. The individual who is impatient with people will be defective in leadership. The evidence of strength lies not in streaking ahead, but in adapting your stride to the slower pace of others while not forfeiting your lead. If we run too far ahead, we lose our power to influence. But that doesn't mean that we just stop in our tracks. We got to keep on going. And we can find other people to help the slower paced people come aboard. Maybe someone can relate to them a little better than what you are at the time. So there's all kinds of workarounds. The next thing we need to do is look ahead of you. What is the big picture? The question often separates leaders from managers. Leaders are concerned with the organization's basic purpose, why it exists, and what it should achieve. They are not preoccupied with the how-to or nuts and bolts aspect of the operation. And boy, isn't that so true with our business? A few people in here have Veritech systems, and I didn't realize this in the beginning, but I've learned since just the whole thing of chaos, and we'll talk some more about that a little bit later. But the whole thing is chaos. All you got to do is do something, and stuff is going to happen for you. And then, you know, we can work on fine-tuning it later, or maybe helping you, you know, do things a little different than what you're currently doing if you already have a current work-at-home business. And this next thing is the God aspect. What does God expect of you? And I don't mean to preach at you or anything like that. And if you don't believe in God, then you know that's you, and that's fine. But for those that do, you've got to ask yourself. If you believe in a higher power, what does God expect of you? Richard E. Daly said, "Every golden era in human history proceeds from the devotion and righteous passion of some single individual. There is no bona fide mass movements. It just looks that way. There is always one man who knows his God and knows where he's going. God's gift to me is my potential. My gift back to God is what I do with that potential. I believe great leaders sense a higher calling, one that lifts them above others. What a terrible waste of life to be climbing the ladder of success only to find when you reach the top that you were leaning against the wrong building. Great visions are bigger than the person." Maxwell's definition of success is knowing God and his desires for me, growing to my maximum potential, and sowing seeds that benefit others. And the other thing that the thing that sticks in my mind is if God gives you a dream, a vision, then God gives you a way to fulfill that dream, that vision. Okay, and our next thing here is look beside you. What resources are available to you? A vision should be greater than the person who has it. Its accomplishment must be the result of many people bringing many resources to the job. Many times, Maxwell read the speech of President John F. Kennedy that cast the vision of America landing on the moon during the decade of the 60s. That dream captured the people and the resources of our country and became a reality. The experienced leader is always looking for others to make the dream come true. Maxwell's top priority in the vision for the $25 million relocation of the congregation that he pastored is to develop and find winners to help make a vision a reality. He continually evaluates the progress of this relocation project by the commitment of the people. Too often leaders hesitate to test the commitment levels of those around them. What is the result? They are never sure where the project stands or where their people stand. He remembers well the conclusions that he felt when he finished the first $4 million fundraising effort. He said they worked hard, and he knew exactly where the people stood. The leader continually passes on the vision to those who come around, knowing that dreams, if presented right, are contagious. And dreams are contagious. And you know, when you see someone on fire and you want to get around them. You want to catch that contagious spirit and grow with them and be the leader that you've been called to be. Maniac Marker's vision is to create leaders to be successful in your own work-at-home business. With Maniac Marketers, we teach you how to grow to be a leader. You know, we show you how. You have to put the effort in by putting into practice things that we're going to teach you. And this really is needed in a work-at-home business. Otherwise, you got people that's just hiding behind websites, and people don't like dealing in necessarily in websites. They like dealing with people. People don't deal with businesses. They deal with people. I was just thinking, a couple of places that I go. My insurance guy, I could probably get that cheaper through AAA. I never have investigated it, but I have a couple options, AAA and AARP, to try to find cheaper insurance for my car. And, both of those are big networks. But so far, even though I know that there might be some potential savings there, I like my insurance agent. And he's giving me great customer service. He's helped me over the years, and that's what I'm getting at. That people do business with other people, so you need to keep that in mind as you build your work at home business. Well, let's talk about marketing for a moment. As you know, there's all kinds of marketing out there. There's comment, article, email, traffic exchanges, educational, relationship, and a whole host of others. Well, and our marketing has changed dramatically over the last several years. We have the two ages coming together, information age and the social community age. The first one, of course, the information age, is the search engines. It's Google, Bing, Yahoo, and we know which one is the bigger one. This one has all the host a lot more information, and that's old Google. They log about 2 billion searches a day. Bing has about 10% of the market, and Yahoo comes in third with 100,000 searches a week. Well, then we have the social community age, and we have things out there like Facebook and MySpace and Ning, Dig, Squidoo, YouTube, and all other kinds of forums out there. And anytime that there's a new one pops up, people go to it. They swarm on it, and then they may not go to it ever again. It was just that one time thing. But MySpace, of course, is the big one out there. we can talk a moment about information versus social community. As marketers, we got to put our information out there. But there's some marketers that would rather just stay in the social community age. So it's almost like they pit one against the other. It's like, we got to go be social, and then they wonder why they're not being successful. They're talking to the people, and they may have 300 or 400 friends or 500, 600 friends, whatever. But are they just talking to them, or are they just playing games with them? So they lose their focus of not getting their information out there to the search engines. And that's where I think we need to gear more toward the information and social community age. We need to keep putting our information out there to the search engines, like nobody's business, but it is. It's our business. And then we need to stay connected with people in the social community age. And so we can show you how you can keep putting your information out to the search engines, and funnel that's your same information over to your social communities. So you need to develop marketing techniques of the social community should enhance your marketing to the search engines. That way, you keep on top of both of them. Because I know that there's times that Butch puts blogs and stuff out there. I don't necessarily see it when he puts it to the blog, but all of a sudden I see it come through Facebook, and then I go see what Butch is up to. And there's been a couple of others that I've I know that they're doing some work, because all of a sudden I see their information come through through Facebook or through another social community that I watch from time to time. Well, our business, let's talk about business for a moment. Our business is Trivita. They're a health and wellness business. They have your basic vitamins A through E. They have anti-inflammation products. They have calcium. They have omega-3. They have anti-inflammation products. They want to teach people how to be proactive in their health. If they're proactive in their health, then they're going to be less likely to be sick. It's not that they're a cure-all or anything like that. They just want people to take better care of themselves, and so they do that through their vitamins. They also provide literature out there through their own magazine, through emails, to keep people well informed about what's going on in people's lifestyles and how to stay in good health. Well, they also want to give people the opportunity to make some money for your life purposes, for your dreams. Whatever that may be, whether, like we talked about earlier, just making a lot of money, or making replacement income, being able to take those vacations that you can never afford before. They want to help you in that process, and they help market with you on obtaining customers. Well, then we do have a marketing system, the Veritex system. For $54.95, these are just some of the things that are in the Veritex system. There's a lead generation system, classified ad system, splash page maker, ad submission tool, blogging system, bulk mailer, tracking tools. There's got its own search engines out there. There's directories, and you use these tools to even put your information out there even more. So you're Trivita's doing a lot of your back side marketing. You're bringing in customers to yourself. And that's one thing that I forgot, that and if you so choose, you can just buy customers, so Trivita is helping you bring in customers as well. So you can get with your whoever bought you here, or get with me later on here. I'll give you my contact information, and you can get to building your business. This Veritex system is often referred to as a search engine marketing system, because it does help you get to the top of the search engines. And whenever I say search engines, I'm mainly thinking Google. That's what we try to get to the top of. That's what we tend to focus on, because just face it, Google is the only one that's ever been changed into a verb. So you got to go Google something. Well, then we have a social community that you can participate in, tomorrowshomebusiness.ning.com. And in this social community, you can post your information there through blogs and videos. You can share information from this one spot, and in like 5 minutes' time, you can post your links over to Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, Delicious, Dig, StumbleUpon, and if you have somebody's email address, you can mail them your link over to them. And that's a pretty easy process. You can also create your profile to represent you. Mine is a picture of a Harley Davidson. See, that's my dream. I want to get a Harley Davidson, and I keep that in front of me all the time. So you can tailor your profile page to represent you. Like if you like going fishing, there's fishing pictures out there. You can go get that, or if you like race car driving, you know, you can go find a picture that represents you. And more important, the profile pages are promotable on the search engines. So you can take that one link of your profile page, and you know, you may have several business links on there, and you can go promote that one page out to the search engines. You can also use the RSS feed. You can bring it into your profile page from other blogs that you might have. And we're just people working together and in a relationship with one another. Before I started the meeting tonight, I looked at the Alexa ranking for the tomorrowshomebusiness.ning.com, and we're at 261,000. And that's really pretty good. We have about a little less than 300 members there, and we're trying to improve that all the time. But in comparison, I know a community that's got about 76,000-77,000, and their Alexa ranking is just a little over 100,000. So, you know, we're actually, comparatively speaking or relatively speaking, you know, we're doing actually better than that community. And you don't have to know HTML or anything like that. You can just go post your information in there, and it takes care of it for you. And get good Google search engine rankings on that too, by continually using that every day. Our group is the Maniac Marketers, and we're willing to help you in your work at home business. You know, Butch has shown me quite a few things, and I'm willing to share that with other people as well, and help you get your business going and get you making some money. Let's talk about business choices for a moment. With Maniac Marketers, we promise to teach you how to grow a leader. That's one promise that we're going to make to you. You know, we'll show you the ropes. And we're also going to show you how to use the tools to build your work-at-home business. Now, the decision is yours. The Maniac Marketers invite you to a successful work-at-home business. So, get back with the person that brought you here and get some more information. If you don't have anyone or you'd like to contact me, here's my information, Terry Allison. My Veritech address is TerrySR.VeriteK.com. My Trivita website is TriVita.com/1313439. You can contact me through Skype at Allison Marketing Group. And the social community again is tomorrowshomebusiness.ning.com, or you may contact me in my conference room. I try to have that up through the day, usually 9 to at least 6 Eastern time, and that's at Terry Allison's conference room. .com, and I look forward to visiting with you and helping you in your work at home business. Thanks, everyone.